I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Help I Suck at Dating. This is like week five of quarantine, I think. Four, five, six. I've lost track of days, weeks, months, really. I'm Jared, joined by Dean and Tori via Zoom. Dean, how you doing, bud?
I'm great, Jared. Thanks for asking. Nothing really has changed since last week. I wish I had a great, compelling story to share.
I went to the grocery store yesterday. That was
my motorcycle got stolen. That's
I heard about that. What the hell? Did anybody find the guy? Because you posted the video.
I filed a police report. No leads. Nothing like that yet. But other than that, just doing some household chores. Made some benches. Did some kitchen work on the backsplash. Made some floating shelves.
So you're getting some housework done.
Getting some housework done.
How's that been going? Housework with Kaylin. You guys are like a real married couple. You're wearing rings. You're making cabinets together.
As opposed to a fake married couple?
Yes.
Oh. Anyways, who do we got this week? We got our great friend from Bachelor Nation, Taylor Nolan. She's going to come on and talk about sex in quarantine. We're all thinking it. She's going to start talking about it. And we have Frankie from Too Hot to Handle, who is going to come on as well. Yeah. And then we're going to answer emails. And
Too Hot to Handle is like the biggest, it's the biggest show right now.
It's going to be a show.
It's the biggest show. Isn't it like number one trending on Netflix right now?
Oh, I thought you were talking about this show.
Well, this show is obviously the best show. It's the best podcast.
This is a show.
This is a show. This is a great show. So we have the host of Let's Talk About It with Taylor Nolan. Of course, it is Taylor Nolan, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give her a round of applause, Dean. Come on now.
This is quite the welcoming. Thank you.
That's what we're all about here at Help I Suck at Dating. Taylor, how are you? This is not your first time on this podcast.
Yeah, I've been on once, twice before. I'm really doing well. I'm taking it day by day and focusing on what's in my immediate control and just hanging out with my plants and my cat and vibrators and books and lots of hydration. It's been good.
Speaking of vibrators, let's jump right into it. You are a sex therapist, correct?
I'm in training as a sex therapist, yes.
And so how long is training for a sex therapist?
So it'll take about 2 years. It's essentially like getting another master's. So I have a few clients that I work with specifically around sex therapy right now, and it's been going really well.
That's pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie. What made you want to become a sex therapist?
Well, when I took human sexuality in my undergrad, I remember like idolizing my professor and thinking it was so cool what she did, but I didn't want to pigeonhole myself or feel like I was trapped in one category. So I just went for my master's in overall counseling. But I mean, sex has always been a topic I light up around. I've always loved discussing it. And I think more throughout my early 20s, you know, I'm 26 now, and I feel like I've gotten more in touch with my own sexuality. That's made me much more curious, both personally and professionally, as to what, you know, how we experience sex, how we go about sex in our dating life. It's such a huge part of just being a human. So to me, it just made a lot of sense to get this extra training in it.
Are you currently dating right now in the quarantine?
Somewhat.
Somewhat, because I know that you had a breakup last year at some point, last fall, I believe. I was reading about it. And so now that we're in quarantine, I'm very curious, being a married man, what it's like being single during this time. So are you on dating apps and talking to people?
So I was on one dating app and was talking to lots of people. Like pre-quarantine, I feel like I was talking to like 10 different people.
Tight.
It was a lot.
Tight.
Tight.
10 people?
It was a lot. And granted, all those are long distance. So it's not like I was constantly going on dates, but I was always on the phone, always having FaceTime calls. And yeah, now I've just gotten way more intentional about where I'm putting my emotional energy. So there's really only one person now that I kind of talk to, and it's the same person from September to January. You, I think, met him, Jared, at Single
Does
Ball.
His name rhyme with Tarek Death? I'm sorry. I had to ask. Come on now. Come on. I had to bring it up.
Too soon, Jared. Too soon. Yeah.
I figured I'd just get it out of the way. Get it out of the way.
Well, Taylor, because you always talk about on your Instagrams your sexcations.
Yeah, yeah. So I had
obviously we're not having any sexcations during all this.
No, I miss sexcations.
What
so
the hell
much.
Is a sextation?
A sexcation is basically a vacation for sex. Basically, when you're long distance, I consider every visit to be a sexcation. So I had a partner that I was seeing from September to January. Pretty consistently, about at least once a month, we saw each other, and he's in Toronto. But yeah, now it's like no sexcations and not really dating anyone, more taking this time to focus on my own personal growth. And
I love your openness and candidness about it. It's very refreshing.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. It's, I mean, I love having these conversations and I love talking about this stuff anyway. And I feel like there's so much shame around it that I'm like, if I don't care and I can just openly share, then I know it will at least help some people feel less shameful and more open and empowered to explore their own sexuality.
Are you giving therapy in the quarantine as well, like virtually?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Part of why I won't be on the second half of this episode is because I have a client at 2:30. So yeah. Yep. Yeah, just doing everything virtually with clients. Before I was only seeing clients one day a week, and with everything happening in quarantine, I've opened my schedule up a bit. So now I am working with some new clients and taking some new cases on. So
do a lot of the clients you have, are they bashful at first? Do they feel a little insecure coming to you?
Because of me or just because
no
of
not
the,
because of you just
the
because
topics that they're bringing
of course the topics that they're bringing
so it depends. Some people are super comfortable and they're just like, yeah, like I just need to talk about this stuff, like I'm struggling with this. And others definitely are shy. For some people it's their first time in therapy, where we go really slow. I assure clients that, you know, the first session, the first months even, doesn't have to be you telling me your entire life story, that, you know, this is a relationship like any other that's going to take time to build that trust and build that rapport, and for it to feel like a safe place that they can talk about these really deep, insecure, shameful things that they haven't felt comfortable to discuss outside of that space. So there's definitely parts of that and we work through it.
Why do you think sex is such a taboo topic?
Why do I think it's such a taboo topic?
Yeah. How did that become a part of society?
Yeah. not to be anti-religion here, but a lot of it does also have to do with how the church has told us to view sex and view pleasure within our bodies. That is a large part of it. A large part of it is also our patriarchal society. In terms of women's sexuality being hypersexualized, yet experiencing shame if we actually express our sexuality. You know, we receive so many confusing messages around sex. Even this new show, Too Hot to Handle, on Netflix represents that very well, where it's this thing that we all want, but then we're also going to judge each other for and try to shame ourselves out of. We just receive so many different messages around it. And, you know, we don't have any proper education around it when we grow up. So automatically we're left feeling like this thing that's supposed to be this end all be all, this amazing, pleasurable experience that, like, if you really want to be cool and like you really want to be happy, then like you got to be having good sex. Yet if we actually ask questions about it, we talk about it, everyone gets uncomfortable because it's supposed to be this private thing that you save for marriage. That, you know, our whole concept in our society around virginity, even this kind of innocent purity concept that we try so hard to instill in women. There's a whole lot of reasons why we feel shame around this.
It's weird because we don't talk about it at such a, until we're older, because it's such an uncomfortable conversation. And so, like, I'm not afraid to admit this. A lot of things that I learned about sex are from porn, and I don't think that's a good thing. I don't think that's a good thing at all. I don't know. Maybe Dean, you have a different
perspective. I agree. I think that as a young man, I think our first experience with sex is through watching porn. Like, you know, I would imagine that most young boys get that before they are being sexually active. Yeah, and it's, that obviously probably breeds pretty unhealthy habits too, I think, within people. And if they're unable to break that later on in life too, it's probably not the healthiest thing. But Taylor, for our listeners then, what advice would you have for them, whether they're single or in a relationship in the quarantine? I guess because it's like everything is so different now where, you know, if you don't normally live with your significant other, now you're spending all this time with them because you're quarantined together. Or let's say you're single and then you're not having the casual sex that you're able to have before. What advice would you have for the listener out there that's either on one side or the other?
Yeah, well, first I want to answer this discussion around porn quickly.
Oh yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to.
No worries. I might need you to like re-ask me that question after this, but I do want to touch on the porn piece because yes, it has served as our education, and unfortunately has taught us a lot of really toxic, unhealthy concepts around sex and how we interact with each other. I will recommend Erica Lust. She is a ethical feminist indie adult film director and producer. She has several different platforms at which she hosts her adult films. One is X Confessions and the other is Lust Cinema. As a woman, porn was not something A, I saw myself in, B, was relatable, C, always felt safe, and D, that never really actually looked enjoyable for the females in the films. I wouldn't even call them films in your mainstream porn.
Cinema, we know.
But yeah. but from Erica Lust, it really is cinema. It is, you know, it's very relatable. You see real bodies in there. She has like docuseries around sex where you do actually see real couples from all sizes, all ages. She has trans porn on there. She has pregnancy porn on there. It is just a fantastic resource that I highly recommend. I posted about it last week, actually, and it sparked this whole conversation about porn being this cheating website and sex trafficking and all this stuff, which does just represent and kind of mirror back to me all the issues that porn has created in our society. But from lots of research, Erica Lust is doing fantastic work in this space because sex workers do deserve to be paid properly. Sex workers do deserve the right to be able to do their work in a safe environment that is pleasurable and is enjoyable for them.
Totally.
And she's really producing all of that. So
that's awesome.
I'll give that as a resource that is fantastic. And Dean, what was your follow-up question there?
What advice would you have for the people that are currently quarantined, you know, that are having to change their sexual habits because of everything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one thing I'm finding is that people are either going to one extreme or the other. They're either really getting into sex and they're having a lot of sex right now, or they're masturbating a lot, or they are so stressed and paralyzed by that stress and anxiety, or are super busy, constantly connected to technology and not feeling sexual at all. One piece of advice that I would definitely give during this time is to just be gentle with yourself. If you are not feeling in the mood, give yourself some compassion. Don't put that pressure on yourself because it will only make it worse.
So don't put pressure on yourself. We're talking about pressure. That you mentioned the Netflix show, Too Hot to Handle. So being a sex therapist in training, what are your thoughts about that show?
Yeah. So I actually had this week, we'll have Kels and Matthew on my podcast. And I got to say, the show obviously was very entertaining. But I do think if I put on my therapist hat, had a lot of really confusing messages around sex and wasn't super sex positive.
Well, they were just sexually charged. They couldn't keep their hands off each other for money.
Yes. I'm so curious to see where they found these people because they all seemed so sexually motivated, more so than anyone I've ever seen on like a reality show before.
Yeah. And, you know, I got to say, I feel like a lot of it was exaggerated in terms of how like sexually liberated they really are because in the description, at least that we're given, it sounds like they are having meaningless sex. Now, I'm not saying casual sex because casual sex can be meaningful. Casual sex can have emotional depth to it. But it sounded like what these contestants were having pre-show were these drunken hookups that basically they were forgetting the next day, right? Or just throwing themselves out there, trying to find love through sex, which isn't always, I mean, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But unfortunately, I think they were lacking a lot of intention around their sex lives. So I get that the point of the show for them was to, you know, take a step back, to allow themselves to be emotionally vulnerable. I think it does reflect our hookup culture and our society. But it definitely objectified the women. It definitely seemed like, you know, oh, can we use our sexuality to get these guys to like spend money? And it wasn't the sexual liberation, quote unquote, of contestants didn't necessarily feel overall sex positive to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that it was just such a weird focus for the show to have. Oh, not weird, but
well, it was the entire concept.
So, like, geeky and charged with sexual energy. It was just so. It was. I mean, I thought it was a good show. It was entertaining, at least as far as reality television goes. But I could definitely see that it doesn't necessarily build the healthiest relationship with sex.
And especially the part where they're not even allowed to masturbate. Like, so what does that have to do with their ability to have a deeper emotional connection with another person? Like, if anything, that's going to help it. And I think most of what we saw were the guys being like, what? Like, that means we can't masturbate. We can't jerk off. What? Like, how are we going to survive? I've never not gone, you know, a few days without masturbating. Yeah. Like, we didn't really see anything from the girls around that standpoint. So I almost would have loved for them to have been like, you know, okay, everyone is free to masturbate, but like, you know, wait until something, I don't even know, even putting the pressure to like wait to have sex. It's more like when you actually have been vulnerable and you connect with that person or you're intentional about, you know, what you want out of that sexual experience with them, then go for it. But yeah, the masturbation piece, I was like,
I mean, I'm no sex therapist, like, but wouldn't the ability to masturbate on that show make it easier to not have sex with other people?
In some ways, yes, but in other ways, not necessarily, because masturbation can be used to increase your sex drive. The more sex you're having, the more sex you want.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Buyer beware there on that one. Taylor, before you go, to change the subject a little bit, we had some news in the dating world that I wanted to get your 2 cents on. And Dean, of course, your thoughts on this as well. A celebrity couple, guys, broke up this week. Very sad. Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler, all over. 10 years of marriage, all done. They're getting divorced. And they have, obviously, their show. They have their family, their kids. I think they have three kids. So what are your thoughts? 10 years of marriage, no more Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler. What are your thoughts on it, guys?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just share here. I think whether it's quarantine times or not, you know, it's obviously unfortunate, but also not necessarily. I mean, if they're not happy in that relationship, then good for them for making the best decision for the both of them. Divorce and separation is not always a sad, negative thing. Certainly you can have whatever feelings you want around it, but for them, this might be a really positive step in their lives with each other, transitioning out of this relationship. I do think quarantine is kind of putting people in a position where they're forced to really look at their lives and how they're living on a day-to-day basis and what kind of energy they have in their lives and what their relationships look like. And, you know, who knows, this could have been a kind of environment that pushed them to that and that brought things to light that they were avoiding or that were kind of swept underneath the rug that now no longer could be tolerated. Not sure, but definitely hoping the best for both of them.
Dean, any thoughts?
Did they have a statement or anything? This is how I'm finding out about it. Like, I knew coming into the episode that they were broken up, but
it was, their statement is, with great sadness, after 10 years together, we have come to a loving conclusion. To get a divorce, we have nothing but love and respect for one another and are deeply grateful for the years shared, memories made, and the children we are so proud of. This is just a situation of two people growing apart. We ask everyone to respect our privacy as we navigate this difficult time within our family.
Well, yeah. Did you ever watch their show?
I have not, but this really gives you the open door. You and Kaylin, here we go. Your own show on E!
We got a spot to fill. That's perfect. I've never seen the show, but as a Broncos fan, I had Cutler as our quarterback for probably 6 or 7 years. And I got to say, I'm impressed that they made it 10 years. I think that he's, you know, he doesn't seem like he's the easiest guy to get along with. He's got a short fuse, if you will, it seems like.
Mm.
Interesting. I never watched the show either, but yeah, I was never a big Jay Cutler guy for football. I don't know him personally, obviously. But yeah, I'm with Taylor as well. I just wish him the best. I hope that they're making the right decision. It's always difficult, you know, going through these situations with the family. I think three.
Well, there you have it. What else do we want to talk about? Well, we have Taylor because we got to let her go in a minute.
I had questions for you. Now we got so deep into it. All right. So you're single right now.
I have about another like 10 minutes.
Perfect. We'll run down some quick questions. One. So you're single right now. Would you ever consider coming back to the Bachelor franchise?
I don't know. I'm never someone that's like, you know, I'm going to say no right off the bat, or like, I try not to be closed-minded about things. I honestly would be very terrified to do anything in Bachelor world again. I would consider it.
What makes you so terrified?
I think.
Answer as you will. There's no pressure here. We're just talking.
Yeah. Just a friendly conversation. No, I mean, I think it's scary just to put yourself out there in general, you know, and going on the show. You never know what's going to happen. You never know who else is going to be there. You never know what kind of situation you're going to find yourself in. You never know what's going to be shown and what's not going to be shown. So it would definitely be a risk to go back on. It might be worth it. It might not be. It'd probably be like a last minute, like, well, fuck it decision if I did do it.
I think that's how we all make the decision, isn't it? As soon as we sign the contract, we're like, fuck it.
Yep, that's how Going on Paradise was the first time for me. I was like, well, it can't get much worse than it already was, so might as well try.
No, I mean, you were fine.
Your ex went back on the show, so now it's kind of your opportunity too, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
That door is at least openly or available to be opened, I guess.
Yeah, it's cracked open.
It's not cracked. Yeah. It's there, but it's not locked. It's just a quick twist of the knob is all you got to do.
Well, you were back on Paradise with Christina on there as well, right? My thing is, like, if I go on, they're probably going to be like, plant seed, here he is. And I'd be like, bye.
Had you been on that season of Paradise, this most recent one, it would have basically been season 4 all over again.
Yeah.
Did they ask you?
Basically. I was in a relationship.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's obviously a good reason not to go.
I mean, I probably still could have gone on. But
unfortunately, not everybody abides by those decisions, those rules. But
Taylor, now that you've seen shows on Netflix like Too Hot to Handle and Love is Blind, would you do a show like that or any reality show?
See, both of those shows are like so void of sexuality that I like. If I was in the pods, I would be like wanting to have like a dirty talk session, and I would for sure be talking about sex and what their preferences are. If I was on Too Hot to Handle, I for sure would have been like, wait, but no, I want to be able to masturbate if I want to. And like, I want to know how it feels to kiss you. And like, I mean, I guess I would just spend $3,000 on it, but I'm not immediately interested just based on the concepts of those shows. You know, I would definitely want a show that is a lot more sex positive, but I also understand like it's reality TV and sometimes we exaggerate things. And yeah, I don't know. I think there's like great people that go on both shows, but I don't know that either one of those shows would be for me.
Sorry, go Dean.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like you're kind of in a minority group of the Bachelor franchise, at least, just with your ability to think like that, don't you, sort of? With your sex positive approach to things, I feel like is, it's just unique in that sense within Bachelor Nation.
I guess. I
feel like I follow, and like you're the only one that's talking about it, which I think is a great thing. I think it's good to have some representation in that arena.
I second that.
Yeah, I think it's funny because, you know, when you look at the franchise, like we talk about Colton being a virgin and I think Becca Tilly was also a virgin, right? Like we talk about the virginity piece and Madison, right? We talk about the virginity so much. We talk about like the marriage and all that, but like, where are the conversations around sex and like the importance of that and how we show up there and having a healthy relationship with sex within a relationship? I definitely do think the representation of that shown on the show is lacking. I think I'm sure people have these conversations and whatnot, you know, from the show that are like in their day-to-day life, but yeah, I feel like I'm the only person that's like selling vibrators on Instagram. So
when do you think it's appropriate to, when would you advocate someone having sex with someone they're interested in? First date, second date, whenever they think it's appropriate.
Yeah. Whenever they feel like it, when they feel like it's a right time for them, when they feel like they have enthusiastic consent, when they are like, I want to do this, not like a, I can maybe do that. Like, I encourage and I hope that people have sex when they want to have sex.
So what would you tell people who go on a first date with someone, are really sexually attracted to them and like, man, I really want to have sex with this person right now, and they both feel the same way? Should they wait or just go for it?
I think they should talk about that. I've been on many dates where first date, I'll talk about it and I'll be like, I want to have sex with you. and we'll talk through that. And I'll be like, yeah, I want to have sex with you, but I don't want to have sex with you tonight. But like, I definitely feel like I want to have sex with you. So I think that they should have a conversation about it. If they both feel like it's there, if they are clear with each other about what it is that they're looking for, right? Like, if this is a, say, a Tinder date and you're just like, I just really want to be ravaged tonight. I just want to go all out and just have a fun sexual experience. And then I want to go back home to my cat and like watch Netflix and like chill by myself. Then communicate that and like go for it.
I've got a question. You've seen Love is Blind as well, right?
I've seen what?
Love is Blind.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? I can't remember their names, but the point of contention in the relationship, it was in the resort phase. His sexual history was put into question or something like that. And they broke up because
Carlton and Diamond.
Mm-hmm. What are your takes on that? Like, if you're meeting someone new and then, because in my opinion, the sexual history should be kind of irrelevant to their sexual future, right? But I could see why someone would get upset about it. But what's your take on it? It's because that's like that's a unique situation too, I feel like.
Yeah. So there's so much to dissect from that relationship. First, I think she was very valid in feeling like he intentionally hid something from her. The point of the experiment before getting engaged was to, you know, whether I agree with this or not, to fully put everything out there on the table, to fully be yourself, and then engage to this person. And from her perspective, she felt like he had kept it from her and dropped it as a bomb to now be like, well, you're with me. I was worried you wouldn't want to be with me if you knew this. Now I'm telling you because you're already with me. From his perspective, very understandable. You know, not only is it societally shamed upon men who are bisexual, but especially Black men, to have that representation on reality TV and just in our society in general is very rare, and carries a lot of shame with it. So understandable that he would have that fear of telling her. I don't necessarily think that you need to disclose your entire sexual history to a partner before you have sex with them. I do think that, you know, doing your own processing around whatever shame you are carrying sexually is important. And I think if that person is someone you feel safe enough to have sex with, then hopefully you feel safe enough to have a conversation with them about where you're at within your sexuality. You don't owe that person necessarily that whole history, right? But if there are big trigger points for you where you do feel shame, you know, then I think that is important to be open to that. I think he was still in the midst of, you know, battling shame around being bisexual, that he wasn't able to show up and be fully authentic with her because he wasn't accepting himself. So yeah, I could keep going on all that, but.
So do you think that in relationships, let's say, you know, you're in a committed monogamous relationship, you mm-hmm. don't think it's important to share every sexual encounter or partner or whatever, but like just the ones that you feel like you need to for the importance of it all? Like,
so I think if there's like a specific sexual experience that you have struggled with having shame with your body, with how you interact sexually, that is likely going to come up within your intimate relationship, right? So hopefully if this is a partner that you're in a long-term committed monogamous relationship with, hopefully that's something that you can share with them to have an honest conversation about so that they better understand where you're coming at sexually and so that you can show up fully where you're at. And also have that support too, because that's important. We could all use some support. So I do think that having those healthy, open conversations around sex that include things like what turns you on, what doesn't turn you on, what you enjoyed from your past sexual experiences, you know, what things you enjoyed doing in the past can be helpful to communicate to your partner. You know, it's very dependent upon whatever the relationship is, but I think overall we would all be better off if we do encourage and increase the amount of these conversations around sex with our partners in an honest and vulnerable way. It's only going to lead to better sex.
Which is what we're all striving for.
Exactly. We're all striving for that. Or it's going to be like, oh, this actually isn't a person that I connect with. And this isn't a person that I feel safe being sexually vulnerable with. And that's okay too, because there will be someone else.
Well, let me, I know you got to go. Let me just ask you one quick question and then we'll end the session. When you said that, do you think sex can get better with someone? Because I've heard that a lot with people who are really into someone and they have sex with them and it's just really not that good. And they're like, oh, but I'm really happy with this person, but I just physically we're having troubles. Do you think that that's something you can actively work on to get better?
Mm-hmm. So it's very dependent, but yes. I think definitely the first step in that is communication, right? You've been having sex with this person. How much are you actually talking during sex? How much are you talking before sex? And how much are you talking after sex? How well do you know your partner sexually? There's a lot of work that definitely can be done within a relationship around sex. But then there are definitely those situations where there's just not that sexual compatibility there. And that is where, you know, you do a lot of work and you look at what the relationship is, what it's fulfilling for you. You know, perhaps there's opportunities to transition the format of the relationship. So there's lots of ways to work around it. I don't think, you know, if you're struggling sexually with your partner, that that means that you're doomed and that you need to break up with them immediately because you're never going to have better sex with them. I don't stand by that narrative.
All right. Well, that's a nice little positive way to end it. Taylor Nolan, thank you so much for joining us on Help I Suck at Dating. You are, of course, you have your own podcast, which is called Let's Talk About It with Taylor Nolan. What days do new episodes come out?
Thursdays. New episodes Thursdays.
So everybody watch out for a brand new episode this Thursday with Taylor Nolan. Let's Talk About It. And of course, you can follow her. Your Instagram is at Tay Mocha.
Yep.
Perfect. Yeah. So everybody go follow Taylor. Taylor, thank you so much. You're going to have to come on the podcast because I feel like we could talk for hours.
Yeah, I know. I was like, well, I feel like we're going to have a great conversation today. I was like, I feel like we could, like, the three of us go back and forth on all these topics. So yeah. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
No worries. Stay safe.
Yeah, you too.
All right, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. We have a very special guest who is joining us via Zoom right now. You know her from Too Hot to Handle, Francesca. Thank you so much, aka Frankie.
Yeah. Hi guys.
Yeah. What do you prefer, Francesca or Frankie?
I guess Francesca is like the more well known name. Oh, your puppy is so cute. Oh my god.
If only Pappy could speak, but because I always called you Francesca on the show, so I didn't know that Frankie was even a nickname until we saw. Like one time someone called you Frankie.
Yeah, close friends call me Frankie and then everyone else Francesca.
Nice. And so you are zooming in from where exactly?
Vancouver.
Okay, so that's where you're like quarantining then. Mm-hmm.
That's where you live, right? You live in Vancouver.
Live in Los Angeles?
I live in Vancouver, yeah, right now.
Right?
Pardon? What?
Doesn't your boyfriend live in Los Angeles?
He's in LA right now, yeah.
Harry.
Well, so the thing with Too Hot to Handle that I was... that I wish we saw more of was the ending, because it just kind of ended really quick. And I saw you guys talking about your, what you're going to do with your, you know, who moves where kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it sounded like you wanted him to come to Canada.
Yeah. So he came to visit and he liked it, but he wasn't really a fan of my friends. They didn't really get along. So he decided he was going to move to LA instead. And right when he moved to LA, we broke up for a bit. So we got back together and I was planning to move literally right before quarantine. And then quarantine happened. So it's everything's been put on hold.
Wait, what do you mean he didn't like your friends?
He's just like not a fan of my friends.
I heard that, but I also heard him say that like she got rid of him. Did you just stop being friends with them?
I did, yeah.
Wow, were so you chose Harry over the friends. That's like completely the opposite of what Destiny's Child taught me.
Like, they weren't like long-term friends. Like I was friends with them for like a year. And I don't know, if they were my real friends, that they wouldn't be like yelling at my boyfriend. So
they were yelling at him?
Yeah, it was just like not a good situation. But it's okay because I'm not friends with them anymore. So,
well,
so
I thought all Canadians were supposed to be super nice. I thought all Canadians were supposed to be super nice. I can't believe they were yelling.
Yeah, I mean, not this specific Canadian. She's not very nice, but.
Did it have anything to do with when you guys took that break? Because you guys, the show stopped filming about a year ago, right?
Yeah, it was a year ago.
And then you and Harry, you guys took a few months off, if I heard correctly. Did the friends have some issues with what happened in between, like when you guys were broken up?
So the friends, the issue with the friends started before the break, and it was also another reasons why we needed the break, because they were just like toxic and not really good for the relationship. So before we got back together is when I cut the friends.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So now the friend's out of the picture entirely.
That friend.
Nice. Smart.
Screw the friends.
Good choice, I think, to choose in this case. Okay, cool. So for the listeners, obviously we kind of filled them in already. You know, you went on Too Hot to Handle and you have become an overnight freaking sensation. I was just saying, I can't believe you have 3 million followers on Instagram.
No, I got 3 million today. Yay.
Hey, congratulations. That's freaking awesome. I'm very jealous.
It's funny too, because we were talking about, Jared and I were saying in like the first episode or something, you said that Instagram was your job and you were been killing it or something. And Jared was like, well, I'm sure she's killing it even harder now.
Well, my question is, how excited are you right now? Like, because you said on the show that you didn't need the money because you're raking it in from Instagram, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's exciting, but it doesn't really feel, it's honestly, it's not as satisfying as you think. Like the verification, everyone was like, yay. And I was like, like, that's going to sound so stuck up, but it's just not as satisfying as you would think. I don't know why. I think it's because I would rather like be with Harry and be experiencing this with him. And because I'm here and he's there and we're like having this crazy life stuff happening, but we're apart. It's just like not as fun not being with him. No.
Well, that's really sweet. I think that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Do you guys have plans to see each other? Because I guess it must be challenging not being with your boyfriend during the quarantine, right?
Yeah. So we have, obviously when quarantine's up is when I'm going to just like move in with him. So that's the plan right now.
So you're going to move to LA?
Yeah.
Nice. That seems like the better choice than going to Canada.
Yeah. Canada's great. What the hell?
No, I mean, no disrespect to Canada, but you know, you guys are huge celebrities now, basically. So you got to be in LA for that, right?
Yeah, reality TV. But
hey, I have a question. Why did you decide to go on the show?
The production actually reached out to me on Instagram and was like, we think you'd be great on this reality show. It's on Netflix, like la, la, la. So I was like, might as well. Like, that sounds fun. So I just kind of went for it. And I didn't really know the premise. Like, it could have been a show like you guys were on, or it could have been like Survivor. Like, I really didn't know. So I was just like taking a leap of faith. Like, I was single. So I was like, might as well. Like, sounds
but you know, you obviously knew it was a dating show, but you didn't kind of know all of the rules going into it, obviously.
I didn't know before I got to Mexico. I didn't really know it was a dating show. I just kind of knew I had to be single and that it was going to be in the sun. So it could have been like literally anything, like Influencer Island or like anything. I really didn't know. But before filming, like before we got onto the retreat, we had a few days in Mexico in the hotel room to just like kind of chill. And that's when we signed papers. And then I saw Untitled Dating Show on the, on like the contract. So then I was like, oh, okay, dating show, here we go.
And then how long were you guys on the or at the resort for?
We were filming for a month.
Okay. Because I feel like it just flew by when I was watching. I guess because I probably binged it all in a day. That's kind of probably why it flew by. But it all happened so fast, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that happened that wasn't shown. Like, I think it should have been more than 8 episodes, but I mean, who knows if there's gonna be a reunion, who knows if they're gonna be some scenes.
What do you wish they had shown that they didn't have time to put in?
There were some challenges and some like fun stuff that happened and a little bit more drama that would have kind of made more sense if it was added into the reason that things were happening. It kind of would have explained it more to the viewers. why things were happening in certain ways, but they can't show it.
Do you wish they showed more of Harry's personality? Because to a lot of people, like 90% of the time, he kind of sucked, which is sad.
Oh my God, really? Wait,
no, Harry? Not in a bad way, but like he lied to you right off the bat. You know what I mean? And so like, do you wish that they showed more? Obviously you see, you know, we saw a really soft side of him when you went on the date with, I think it was Corey.
Yeah.
And, you know, we saw how upset he was and how much he really cared for you in that moment. And do you wish they kind of showed more of that about him?
Yeah, like he was doing sweet things throughout the month. Like he would put like snacks in my locker. He would always make sure my bikinis were out to dry. He would leave me towels. Like he would make sure my shampoo was always there because the girls would shower and everything would get moved. So he was just very, very considerate, but obviously like they didn't show any of that, but he definitely, I feel like me, Haley and him were shown in positive and negative lights, but everyone else was shown in like a very, very positive light. So We definitely got the brunt of the drama, but I mean.
But I like that. If it's,
also gave you the most screen time, so I mean it's
yeah
and it just shows that you're a person and you have both good and you're flawed in some areas, which is awesome.
Are you still close friends with a lot of the cast members?
I'm friends with Haley. I was friends with most of them, but there was some drama that happened this morning that I was like, I unfollowed Chloe.
Wait, what's the drama? Fill us
what
in.
What happened?
So I don't even know if I'm allowed to talk about this.
Oh, you are. It's okay.
So there was a video that we had to film with Lana the Cone asking us questions and stuff like that. So we were asked, okay, so who do you want to be quarantined with and what was your favorite moment filming? Her answers that she posted on her Instagram today were, I would want to be quarantined with Harry and my favorite moment was kissing Harry. So all right, you, the entire month of filming, we were there for a month, you're going to tell the world that you're in favorite moment out of this entire month was kissing my boyfriend.
Yeah, that's
and
weird.
She wants to be quarantined with
him. I thought we were friends. I wouldn't say that. Imagine if Kels was like, oh, my favorite moment was the shower scene. You know, he would never say that. So I was just like, unfollow. And she was like, babe, are you okay? And I'm like, that's not cool. Like, we filmed this like a week ago. It's not like we filmed this like after filming. That would make more sense. But we filmed this question like a week ago. So she willingly decided that that was her answer after knowing me and Harry have been together for like a year. So
hey, I have a question. You and Haley kissed, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys are still really close friends?
Yeah.
I was watching it, I got the impression that Haley had a crush on you.
Yeah.
Is there any truth to that, you think?
I didn't know that she was saying in her reel at the beginning that she was into girls. I had no idea. So I don't think it was like a romantic love. I think it was more like she had my back and she was like, you know, just like my sibling in the house. I don't think there is anything. I mean, I don't know. I haven't really spoken to her about it. I haven't been like, so you got a crush on me?
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But that's not weird because obviously Harry's your boyfriend and then Haley would be your best friend from the show. There's no like weirdness because you kissed her with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's not weird with stuff like that.
Okay, cool. So on the last night or whatever night it was, you and Harry went into a room and you weren't allowed to touch each other. Mm-hmm. And you shocked the world by actually not touching each other.
Shocker.
But we need to know what happened in the room then. We saw you guys like goofing around a bunch.
Yeah.
So just walk us through that night to the best of your ability.
So we knew going into it that if we started to have like romantic, deep, heartfelt conversations, that there probably would have been some money lost because we just get like lost in the moment. So we kept it as like fun as we could. Like we were just like running around playing hide and seek. Like I hid myself in a drawer. He was under the bed. Like he was swimming in the bathtub for like half an hour. And I was like, what are you doing? And we just kept it very, very, very lighthearted. Like there were sex toys that we were like whipping each other with. And I guess they showed him like kind of moaning at the end, but I think I was just like whipping him with sex toys or like I was like naked. We were just like having fun with it, basically.
So just goofing around the entire night.
Goofing around. Yeah. There was nothing that wasn't shown in that scene.
Was it hard to like to like abstain? Because obviously, so Jared and I being on The Bachelor, like you can just make out basically as much as you want. There's like, mm-hmm. they like encourage you to go to these rooms to be like intimate with each other. Mm-hmm. Was it challenging to like abstain the entire time? I mean, obviously you broke the rules a lot.
Yeah, I think the hardest part about that night was not being selfish and being like, okay, like, let's not do this, but we're not doing this for us. We're doing this for the group. Mm. So we did it so we could prove to the group, like, okay, well, we won the money back. So everything we did was like justified, basically. So it was more of like an aha moment. Because realistically, if we wanted to lose the money and say fuck everyone else, we could have, but that was more of like the reason.
Well, and the show was over too. So you had however much time you want now to do whatever you wanted to do in there.
Yeah. I mean, well, not now because we're not in the same country, but.
Wow. What did you spend your winnings on?
I haven't really spent them yet. Like, I started a clothing brand, so that, I guess, contributed. But I think Harry and I are just going to use it to go on a trip to, like, Paris or something.
Plug the clothing line. What is it?
Pardon?
What? Plug the clothing line.
It's called Farigo, the label. Like, nice little bikinis.
No. Sick. Mm-hmm. Oh, and you said you're going to use the money to go on vacation.
Yeah, with Harry, for sure.
Nice.
Oh, very nice. Do you guys know where you're going?
Paris, I think.
Paris?
Ooh, fancy.
Nice little, it's like a honeymoon almost. The show's over. You guys are now a public relationship. You guys deserve it. You had to hide it for a year. Bachelor couples, they have to hide it for like 2 months, and that's hard enough.
Yeah.
Tell us about how easy or difficult it was to hide the relationship.
I think it was easier because we don't have like the same follower base. Like mine was like America and his was like Australia. So when we were posting stuff, like we were posting in the same cars when with kangaroos the same day, no one could really put two and two together because our fan bases were completely opposite. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it was actually easy because we could post doing this, like we could post on the same date, like eating the same meal. We just tag each other. So.
And now you can. And then, but it was like only a week after the show had began airing.
Yeah, we waited a week. So that was like the hardest week because we're like, all we wanted to do was post about it, but obviously we couldn't. So everyone was like, are you guys still together? Are you guys still together? And we just were finally able to reveal it. So my Instagram is just like all him right now.
Right. And you can finally start going into the photo album and start posting the cute pictures that you want to.
Yeah, we have so many photos. It's just insane.
So you guys are moving to LA together. Is he planning on getting a green card or anything? Because I know.
Yeah, he's working on it right now.
I know. That must be strenuous.
Don't you need a green card too?
What?
Don't you need one as well?
My plan would be, because I can stay there for 6 months at a time. So I would just go and then, like, I would go back and forth.
Oh, okay, yeah.
From Canada. Because I visit my family, like, once every few months anyway. So I wouldn't, like, live there. I would just be, like, visiting. And then if I need to apply for a visa to work on Instagram, I'm not sure how that exactly works. But
that makes sense.
I see here that you guys got matching tattoos. Mm-hmm. What are the tattoos? A lightning bolt?
Yeah, a lightning bolt.
What's the meaning?
I think during the Yoni challenge, I drew, like, a bunch of lightning bolts all over my cat depiction of my vagina, so that it kind of started with that. And then the whole show, there was like a cloud of negativity around us and everything we were doing, so we just tried to stay positive and focus on like all the good that was happening. So it's kind of just like our positivity gun, just to like remind ourselves, like, no matter what happens, just to like stay positive.
And he has the same tattoo in the same place.
Yeah.
Do you guys have other tattoos?
Yeah, we have other tattoos, but not for each other.
Right. I was going to say, just because if you only had one tattoo and that was the only one, that would be a lot more meaningful. Well, not a lot more meaningful. But
no, he literally covered his hand in tattoos now. There's like knuckle tats. There's a tat here. There's a tat here. Like, he covered his hand. I was like, that's meaningful now.
So, well, he's full-blown influencer now. He can do whatever he wants, I guess.
I guess.
So when was the last time you saw Harry?
End of February, beginning of March. So right. So I saw him and then I flew to Ontario to see my family for a bit, and then when I was in Ontario visiting my family is when all this corona stuff happened. So I was debating on just flying to LA really quick and getting stuck there and being quarantined there, but then Justin Trudeau, our prime minister, was like, oh, healthcare, like, if you're Canadian, come home. So I was like, okay, like, I don't want to get corona in LA and then be stuck at a hospital.
Totally makes sense.
I don't have healthcare, so I just decided to come home and been quarantined.
So what's I mean, obviously you said you guys are going to go to Paris, but in the relationship, in the scheme of the relationship, especially being from The Bachelor, We always talk about engagements, right? Is there ever going to be an engagement between you and Harry, you think?
Yeah, like we have, I'll show you guys.
Harry said on an interview with one of our friends, Lauren Zima, he's ready to get married to you. He wants to marry you. He knows.
So this is our shared folder. Ignore the other. I don't know if you can see.
Oh, for the listeners out there, she has a shared folder.
Oh, it's a ring.
Yeah, there we have one called wedding rings, and it's like of like just engagement rings that I like.
So you guys are sending each other engagement rings.
Yeah.
That's very exciting.
But he is really young, so we just kind of have to take it, you know, day by day.
Like, well, you both are. You're like 22?
I'm 26.
He's 22, 26. I think.
He's 23 next month.
23.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. He's a little baby. I bet you if you guys have a reunion show, it's going to go down at the reunion show. That's my guess.
Yeah, I hope not.
Were you guys planning to have a reunion show before everything happened?
Yeah, so there was going to be one. We were all going to fly in, but now with quarantine, I think if there were to be one, it would be similar to like Tiger King. I don't know if anyone watched that. I didn't watch it, but
there's a reunion for Tiger King.
Yeah, it was like a Zoom call or something. Huh. I don't know. I didn't watch, but yeah, apparently it was either. Like a Zoom call with all. Apparently it's juicy, but
interesting.
So it'll be similar on Netflix of a Zoom. I don't know. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it works.
What's it like dating someone who's a little bit younger than you?
I feel like he keeps me young. I don't know. It's definitely a different dynamic because we don't think the same at all. Like, I'm definitely more grounded. I'm more calm. Like, I'm just in kind of, I have a puppy now. So I'm in like mom mode, and he's kind of in like, he's very excited about certain things and stuff like that. But he tells me that he's ready to like settle down. I don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see. You know what I mean? It's like hard because he's so young, but.
Well, especially what we talk about on the podcast a lot is living in LA is a lot different than living in a place, because you're in Montreal.
Vancouver.
Well, Vancouver's a big city, but you know, LA is just like there's a lot going on all the time. Yeah. There's a lot to do.
There's a lot of sparkly things, you know.
A lot of sparkly things.
Yeah. Are you guys both in LA?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, and you're married. Both of you are married, right? Or no?
Yeah, Dean. Are we both married?
That's a good question.
No, you're not. You live with your girlfriend though, right?
Yes, I'm at my girlfriend's apartment now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Kaylin.
Yeah, good job. But Francesca, he wears a wedding ring.
I told you she wasn't allowed to.
You do?
Dean, show her your left hand.
This one?
Oh, come the one day you don't wear the band.
Look it off. Oh, that's so cute. Harry and I wore promise rings for like the longest time on our wedding finger.
Yeah, Jared, that's all it is a promise ring, man.
All right, well, the reason I'm bringing this up, Francesco, is Dean has been telling us for the past 6 months, really, that he's married, and I can't tell if he's joking or not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been telling you that we've been married? You're the one that is always just assuming things.
You're the one who says you're married.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Anyway. But so Francesca and Harry were wearing promise rings, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like zooming in on the fingers and being like, oh, did they get married? Did they get married? But yeah, they were just like little promise rings that we had.
And what was the purpose of the promise ring? Just to show that you guys.
Well, what's the purpose of any promise ring?
Yeah. Why do you have a promise ring?
You promised to marry that person.
Right? I like it. I like rings. I'm a ring guy.
Yeah. It was basically just because we're like long distance. So it was just like a little like token of our love.
What have you learned about being in a long distance relationship?
This is like my fourth long distance relationship. Hmm. Crazy. I'm just like. I don't know why. I just date people in different cities. I don't know why.
Oh, but, so you're a pro.
Yeah, I think you just keep communication lines open and FaceTime as much as you can and just talk all the time about the good things, the bad things. Like, don't keep anything bottled in and don't ignore the person if you're upset because then they'll just...
How many FaceTimes per day do you guys have?
Like 50, probably. It's like every
time. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That sounds exhausting.
If I'm in the shower, I'll FaceTime. I'll just keep the FaceTime there and then... I'll be on FaceTime while I'm doing my makeup and FaceTime while I'm cooking, like FaceTime while I'm walking my dog. Like literally it's kind of like,
that's exactly why I can never do long distance. There was a time Kaylin was in Bali and she FaceTimed me and I was like, okay, well, is there any point that you need to make in this phone call? And it was just like to talk. And I was like, okay, well, I don't like FaceTime. You're a dick. That's why I can never do long distance, I guess.
It is really hard. It is really hard. Especially not knowing like the end date when this is going to be all over and we can like move in together. It's hard, but we don't really have a choice right now. So
yeah.
It's not like, peace out, like see you after quarantine. You know what I mean? So
I know you mentioned this earlier, but you guys are moving in together in Los Angeles. Like you're not just going to move to LA and live separately, but you're going to live together.
No. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's like you guys are back on the show. You're on the show. You couldn't touch each other. And now the show aired. You guys are in quarantine and you can't touch each other.
I know.
It's like the opposite. The temptation isn't even there, though, because they're so far away from each other.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's, you know, ways to keep the relationship spicy, even if you're not in the same room together.
Yeah. A lot of nudes.
A lot of nudes.
There you go, you know. Was everybody as sexually charged as it came off on the show? Because it seemed like everybody, you know, like within 5 minutes of finding out that you're not supposed to have sex, they were like, oh my God, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah, I think production did a really good job of casting everyone. Like, all of our questions were related to sex. Like, how often do you have sex? Like, do you like one night stands? Like, what are your past relationships like? Do you have commitment issues? Like, everyone was put in that house for a reason. So they all were really sexed up, but a lot of them, the majority of them didn't like each other. Like, the girls weren't into the guys and vice versa. So that's why they didn't have a hard time not losing money, because they just like, there was no temptation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It seemed like that. It seemed like there was only a couple people that were like actually interested in other people.
Yeah.
Even the guy that you went on a date with, the accountant, I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
But he like didn't even try to make a connection with anyone, I feel like.
Yeah.
You're saying that a lot of people were like that.
Yeah.
So
why do you think that?
I don't know. Maybe because they knew the sex wasn't there. So they were like, oh, there's no point. I'm not sure.
Do you think any of the cast members have had sex with each other after the filming?
Definitely.
Definitely?
100%.
Oh, can you say which ones, do you think?
Well, we were in Mexico together for a bit, and I'm assuming... No, Rhonda and Sean didn't even fuck in Mexico. Sorry.
You're fine.
We had like a few days, and we all went clubbing and all this stuff in Mexico after, without the cameras and stuff like that. And I don't even think that Rhonda and Sharon did anything. Maybe they did. They must have. I'm not sure. But I think Corey and Chloe, they all live in the same area, so I think there was a little razzle dazzle there. Mm. Madison lives in the same city as Matt, so maybe they, like, I know there was definitely some hanky panky going on.
Well, it's a little bit different when you're not about to lose $20,000, I feel.
And
like.
When it's not on camera.
And it's not on camera. That's a big... Was it weird for you and Harry watching it back, knowing it was all on camera?
I'm just really glad that they didn't show anything from that night. It was very aloof. Like, you couldn't... All you could tell... The only reason you could tell that we had sex was because I said it, so...
Hmm.
The shower scene was more cringe for me with Kels. Way worse.
Did you guys watch the show together when it came out?
No, because of quarantine.
I know. Well, my question was how difficult was it to rewatch the show without each other?
It was hard, but we just, before it came out, like, I just messaged him and I was like, no matter what happens, you can't get grumpy with me. I can't get grumpy with you. It was a year ago. We can't take anything personally because we are where we are now. So it was difficult because I couldn't just like hug him. And we were just like texting every half an hour every so. And I was like, hey, all good? I was like, hey, all good? Okay, we're good. And we were just, the first day I watched it, I just got drunk. I was like, I'm just good.
Yeah, it's a lot different than Bachelor, because you guys obviously were on Netflix where everybody could just watch the whole season in one day, where Bachelor, it's, you know, episode weekly.
Yeah, so you have time to prepare.
Exactly. Like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, this Monday, okay, this happened and that happened. And I'm sure you guys the same thing. You talk to a producer and producer's like, okay, this is going to be shown. That's going to be shown.
They just told us, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, that's got to be crazy, because then you never know when it's going to, you know, when technically could hit the fan, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's funny that, not funny, but more ironic, I guess, that you guys were on a show that was so centered around sex, and now you and Harry might not ever have sex with anyone else for the rest of your lives.
I'm okay with that.
That's a good thing. That's a very good thing.
That's easy for me, for sure.
Do you think that... the fact that you guys weren't supposed to, you know, you couldn't have sex on the show made you and Harry connect more, kind of like, I don't know how to articulate it best, but like, you know, you want what you can't have type thing. Do you think that had any factor?
I think what connected us the most was, just all the conversations we were able to have without our cell phones and being there for a month. Like, yeah, we did have sex, but we were there for an entire month. And we were only able to kiss, I think we only kissed like 3 times and then got a little down and dirty like once or twice. So it did make us strong. And also everything that happened. So the date with Kels, the kiss with Chloe, the date with Corey, the kiss with Haley, like everything made us really, really strong. So the foundation that we built on the show has just been like, just laid
out. Did that make it easier or harder for you when you got back into like the real world, you think?
It was extremely hard. That's why we broke up originally, because we went from being at the hip every day, all day, to not having that. So it was just like very emotional. We just didn't know what to do. And we're like, okay, right. Bye.
How long after you guys left did you break up? And then how long were you broken up for?
We broke up for like three. So the show filmed and then he came to see me. Went to see him. We were together for like 3 months. We broke up at the end of summertime. And then we were broken up until like New Year's is when we started talking again.
Nice. Mm. Do you think that made your relationship stronger?
Definitely, because I was able to date other people and so was he, and we realized like that's just not what we wanted, and it makes us like not take anything we have now for granted.
I do think that being in a relationship after the show is a lot better situation to be in too, like because everyone that's seen the show and all of your 3 million Instagram followers want to see you with Harry and his with you.
Yeah.
So it makes everything a little bit easier.
That's a little more pressure, I think.
Yeah, there's pressure,
so much more pressure.
Yeah, because like if we get into a fight, it's like, I don't know. Like, it's just, it's a lot more pressure to keep the relationship happy, I think. But I don't think it'll be.
Just wait for it. There's going to come a week where you just like forget to post about Harry. And then there's going to be people like, oh my God, they must have broken up. They haven't posted to each other. Like, that's where the pressure comes from. You're like, Jesus, like, that's right.
We you're in this, like, you know exactly what this is like because you guys have lived it.
But it's also really fun because like Dean said, you also have so many people who are just rooting for the relationship and it's really endearing.
Yeah.
It's something I'll never take for granted.
So besides the clothing label, what else are you working on?
That's basically it right now. Cause with the show out, there's a lot of stuff to do with like brand collabs and the merch and the swim and the interviews and Netflix and reunion stuff and like all of this crazy stuff that we're asked to do every single day. So I've just been like, haven't even had like a time to like breathe, you know. It's just been like crazy.
Did you think it was going to get this crazy?
I didn't think that I was going to grow 3 million followers in like a week. That definitely was not what I was thinking was going to happen. I thought maybe like a million tops, and I thought I was gonna be the villain. I was prepared that everyone was gonna hate me. I'm like, all right, I'm the villain, it's fine, I can handle this, come at me. Like,
you're, you know, fine, I mean? It's like you said earlier, they show like with people like you and Harry, and they show more facets of your personality. The audience gets to connect more with you because just like us, it's like, oh wow, they're not perfect. Neither am I. This is cool. Yeah. I like this person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Francesca, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. We know you're a busy gal, even though you're quarantined up in. Where is it again?
Vancouver? If you come on, Vancouver.
This guy in his Montreal. He's got Montreal on the mind. Francesca, also, I have to say.
Vanessa was Montreal. That's why I am associating.
Who's in Montreal?
Our former co-host. She's very sweet. But anyway, also, now Vanessa. Francesca, my wife also says that you are the prettiest girl in the world, according to her. So,
tell her I say thank you. I love that. She's the best. I watched both of your seasons, actually.
Oh, well, thank you. Nice. Well, when you and Harry move to LA, please, we'd love to grab you.
Yes, let's hang out. Triple dates.
That'd be fun.
Yes. So down.
All right. For the listeners, be sure to check her out on Instagram. You can get her to 3.1 million followers or check out her clothing label. It's Farrago the label, right?
Farrago the label, yeah.
Farrago the label.
Bypass that.
thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Okay, and, thanks, guys.
Best of luck with everything.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Bye.
Bye.
Reality stars, man. They're just like us.
Oh, you missed her.
I missed Francesca.
You missed Francesca.
Oh, my God. Do you have video of it?
Yeah, we recorded it.
She's so pretty.
I said, she knows who you are. She loves you. She wants us all to go on a triple date.
No.
Yeah, when her and Harry moved to LA. She's a Bachelor fan, yes.
Oh, my God.
I know. She's a very big, she said she's a fan of Ashley. Because I said, my wife thinks that you're the prettiest girl in the world. And she's like, well, tell Ashley I love her. And she's like, I've watched, you know, your season. I know. So cool, huh?
Right,
bye. Francesca was amazing. She's the sweetest thing. I'm very happy for her and Harry. I hope they work out. Moving to LA, that's a tall task, but I hope everything works out for them.
I think we'll be just fine.
I think so too. Especially, they're already looking at rings. Damn. I guess they've been dating for a while now, though, when you think about it. The show stopped filming last summer. How's your teeth, Dean? Dean is showing me his teeth for some reason.
Zoom chat makes my teeth look so white. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, they look great. They look really white. Congratulations.
Anyways, let's take a quick break and we can jump into some emails. Okay, so we are going to jump into some emails. We have one from Anonymous.
Nick Vile.
We are very fond of. The title is, "Do I Tell My Ex?" She says, "My ex and I have been broken up for over a month now. Post-breakup, I was still sleeping with him. While we were still seeing each other, we promised we wouldn't see other people during that time period. He told me he didn't want to be friends with benefits anymore because he wanted to move on. That same night, I began to Snapchat another person. Before and after our friends with benefits phase, my ex would constantly accuse me of seeing or talking to other people, but I would tell him, no, I wasn't. After he told me to move on, he still proceeded to accuse me of talking to other people, and I still said no because that person I Snapchatted for an hour was no longer in contact with me, but we recently started to be on good terms with each other, and he wants to start being friends with benefits again, but does not want to date. My friends are telling me that because I treated him so badly, I should not tell him, and I do not owe him anything. Should I tell him I Snapchatted another person for a little?"
This is weird. So
yeah.
This guy says that he doesn't. He's the one who says he doesn't want to be friends with benefit anymore, right? Yeah, he told me he didn't want to be friends with benefits anymore.
But now he wants to be friends with benefits again.
But then he's getting pissed off that she's talking to other people.
Right.
Because she needs benefits, you know?
And now he wants to be friends with benefits again.
So he obviously got jealous, but then he says he doesn't want to date her. He just wants to be friends with benefits. I think this dude needs to go see Taylor Nolan and really figure out his shit.
I think this guy needs to be cut out of your life for good, probably. If he can't be a friend because he gets jealous of the people you talk to, and the only way he wants you in his life is by friends with benefits, then just get rid of the guy.
Yeah. I mean, dude, relationships, when you break up, we've talked about this a million times, they can get so messy, especially if you're sleeping with that person after you break up.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have had that experience. I'm sure we've all had that experience where it's comforting, right? You go back to your comforting little spot, and you continue sleeping with someone that you broke up with, and you both feel like shit about it. You know, it's that awkwardness where like you sleep together and it's like, okay, are we back together? Are we just friends with benefits? Are we seeing other people? Are we sleeping with other people? Do we need to talk about this? It's just a whole cavalcade of mess, really.
Do you have like a blanket statement to make about sleeping with an ex? Just don't do it all together.
I wouldn't say don't do it. You know what's funny? This is off topic, but I was thinking about our conversation either last week or 2 weeks ago about the text the ex thing, like how it was like USA Today or whatever wrote that you should text your ex what you've always wanted to say, and I said no. Kind of rethinking it. Not me personally, but I was thinking about our conversation and I was thinking about my ex, and then I also was thinking about the pandemic that was happening, and something happened to her family member that I was close to at the time. It's just like, should I reach out and just be like, hey, I just hope everything's okay. I hope you're doing well. I don't want you to think that, you know, just because, you know, I'm married and you've moved on, we both moved on, that we shouldn't. I don't know. I guess I had new perspective on it when I thought about, you know, the consequence of dying one day. You know? No? Am I weird for thinking this way?
I guess I don't really understand exactly. So you're saying because of the definitive nature of death,
well,
you are reconsidering texting an ex?
Well, what I mean by that is, I think when we were talking about it the other week, I was more of like, why would you text an ex? You guys are ridiculous. It's going to open up a can of worms. It's going to be terrible. It's going to end badly. But then I thought about what would happen if I reached out too late, so to speak. Like, I know this is really morbid way of thinking, and this kind of gives you an insight into my psyche and why Ashley is very frustrated by me sometimes, because I'm always a pessimist and I always think the worst thing is going to happen. But like, if something tragic happened and I just felt like too late, kind of like I should have reached out earlier. Does that make sense? So yeah. Then I thought about it in those terms and I was like, should we be able to reach out and be like, hey, I just want you to know that I hope you're doing well. I'm happy you're happy. And that's it.
How would you feel if Ashley texted an ex?
That's the thing. I don't know. I don't know. This is the problem with being, as humans, we deal with conflict and jealousy and emotions and nostalgia. And so you try to make the best decision possible by just like narrowing, making your path through all these different thoughts. And that's the thing. Like, I put myself in Ashley's shoes and I'm like, man, how would Ashley feel if I texted an ex? How would I feel if Ashley texted an ex? Just to say, I hope you're doing well.
Can I jump in?
Tori, you never have to ask to jump in. You just jump in. You're a part of this podcast.
Well, thank you. But Dean, you are close to all of your exes.
I wouldn't say all.
I would say a large majority. Like, you could still pick up the phone and talk to them and have, and you feel, I don't think you would think it's necessarily weird. But how do you navigate that being in a relationship now? Because like, your Colorado friends is what comes to my brain.
Mm. Well, for the record, I would never pick up the phone and call someone because I hate talking on the phone.
FaceTime. You could do a call.
I would never FaceTime anyone either. Exactly. I ignore every FaceTime I ever get. I hate talking on the phone. And it's getting worse and worse too. But to your point, it's funny that Jared even brings up this topic because I texted an ex actually after that podcast. I said she was a nurse. So I just texted her. I said, hey, thanks for being a nurse during these, insane times. And that was basically it. There's not really much more to the story to add to that, but.
Well, did you tell Kaylin beforehand?
No, I guess I never thought to, but I guess I could.
I don't know. See, that's where if you text an ex, should you tell your significant other first? Even though there's no malicious intent with your text. You're literally, right. Like for you, you literally just texted an ex because she's a nurse and you wanted to say thank you for all the heroic stuff you're doing right now.
Right.
But should you have asked Kaylin or should you tell Kaylin, be like, hey, just as FYI, this is what I did? Because does it make it more of a situation if you tell Kaylin?
I think, yeah, I don't know. I think, yeah, it kind of makes it a little fishy.
Exactly.
But I mean, I text people all along. I don't know. You're right. It's weird. It's weird. Is there a right answer? It doesn't sound like there is. It sounds like it's different shades of just uncertainty.
2020.
I've been kind of thinking about, weirdly, my high school ex in this time. And I don't know why, because he was terrible. Like, he cheated on me with my best friend. But fast forward, because I was 16 then, fast forward till now, he has dated other people far in between, but is now pregnant with the girl from high school that he cheated on me with.
Your best friend?
Yes.
I'm assuming ex-best friend.
Yes. And for some weird reason, I'm like so irritated by it. And I don't know why. It could be kind of me being competitive of being like, damn, like she got the boy. But at the same time, I hate that I'm thinking that. And like, I'm still weirdly hurt by it. And I think isolation is kind of making me feel it more. But I've been like so tempted to weirdly reach out, but I can't because there's no direction for me to take that. Like, congrats on the baby, because I don't really.
What would you say?
Exactly. Like, I don't know what I would say, but I'm so irritated. Like, she posted a video. I don't know why I still follow her. But she posted a video of the baby room and I was like, I don't want that to be me. Because basically he almost proposed to me when I was 16. He had the whole thing planned, but cheated on me 2 days before my birthday when the proposal was supposed to happen.
I can understand why you'd be a little agitated by this entire situation. You're happy for him, obviously. But at the same time, it's like, this is the girl that he cheated on me with. I was kind of hoping that they would just start hating each other and break up and go their separate ways. And now they're having a baby. I get
it. Yeah.
You're not a horrible person for being a little annoyed by it.
I just hate that feeling that like somebody still has that over you in like some weird way. Why are you laughing, Dean?
I just think it's so funny that could be you with a husband and kids on the way.
If I stuck around Grass Valley, 100%, I would have 4 kids by now.
Well, that's the thing, is you don't want that. So why would you be envious of something or distraught by something that you don't even want?
I don't know. If you guys ever think about the first person you ever dated or had a real like boyfriend, girlfriend relationship with, they kind of always hold a special part of your life.
Yeah, she ruined my life. She ruined me. That's
what?
My
it. Is this actually a real story?
Well, I mean, I talked about it at length on the podcast before. She just cheated on me a lot.
And well, I think it sucks.
It's led to some unhealthy habits. I'm sure you know your boyfriend as a high schooler, 16, cheated on you with your best friend, whether you're willing to admit it or not, whether you can pinpoint it or not. I bet you there's still some lingering issues that you have because of that.
I hate to admit it, but I think you're right.
Yeah.
It weirdly like makes me emotional, you guys. Like, why am I tearing up right now? Like, I don't know what's going on. I'm like literally getting teary-eyed. And I think that like I'm just like really struggling with the fact of like being in isolation, and like it's like that weird situation of like you never really did anything in high school to deserve that pain. And then you guys, I don't know why I'm crying. I think I need to get out of this house. And then he, I know they're not necessarily happy, and I don't want to say that they're not, but like he clearly has underlining issues, and I'm sure she does too. You know, I mean, I knew her really well, but like, it's just weird where you're like, oh, like what did I do to deserve that at the age of 16? And you have to grow up so fast in those positions. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing about being that age too, I feel like, and correct me if you guys think I'm wrong on this, but I feel like the way that you love someone when you're 16 is so much more like passionate and fiery than you're able to later on. Like, it's just a different feeling. It's a different love. And so
you lack perspective, which means you're more passionate about that person. Totally.
Right. Because you don't know as much. And so you're like, when I think back to how I felt when I was cheated on when I was 16 as well, it was like my whole body was like exploding, you know what I mean? And then later on in life when I got cheated on, it was like less of a big deal, but still a big deal. And you know, things just become, you have more of a world outside of your relationship, I think, is what it becomes. But you still like hold on to a lot of the things that you learned from those first relationships. So I think it's okay that you feel a little disgruntled about it, Tori. You're crying and letting it out.
Oh, I hate tears. But it was weird, like hearing the conversation from the last podcast, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are thinking the same thing. It's just like being in self-isolation. You really like have time to think about all of your past relationships.
You have zero distractions. So
yeah. And so you start analyzing. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I could definitely tell you that I grew up in a smaller town, and so it felt like a bigger deal than what it is now. And I know that, but I think that I still carry a lot of that like hurt and pain of like, am I even like worthy to be in a relationship with anyone? Because clearly that's how somebody loved me in the past. Like, that's kind of like it just, when it's at such a young age too, it's like, you can't even really like let those scars heal. You just became more of like, you had to push through and act like everything's fine. Cause at that young age, you're like, it's kind of that maturity thing. You're not really evaluating his brain versus yours. What? Or his penis versus and horniness, you know,
versus other penises. Yeah, we get it.
I mean, I think Jared and I are from small towns too. And it's always funny to like think about those places, because a lot of people from those towns, you know, they graduate high school, they either stay in the town, go to college. A lot of people after graduating college go back to that town and just kind of continue on the same things that either their parents were doing or whatever they were doing before they left. And that's great. If that's what makes you happy, that's fantastic. That's not personally something that I would be interested in. It doesn't seem like either of you guys are either. Obviously, you know, you moved to Los Angeles and you're doing all these things. It's just, it's kind of hard. It's like apples to oranges. You know, you can't really compare those types of things.
Yeah. Isn't it funny though, Tori, because you have this such emotional attachment to this guy that you dated in high school because of what happened, but picture yourself with him now.
Yes.
Would you really even want to be with him?
No, and that's why I can't tell if it's me being like competitive with the fact that like she got the boy, you know? Or
no, I agree, because I was thinking about this too, you know, it's like, well, you know, you think about like that first person that you loved and had so many memories with, and you know, it still brings back like it's pain and love and all these different things that you experience together. But then in the present moment, I think about, you know, the person I am now being with the person they are now. I'm like, it would never work. I don't even know if I'd want that relationship. And right. So why am I so impacted when I think back upon what we had when I know it wouldn't be the same right now.
I think what's also really hard though is that we've moved to a city that's very like wasteful kind of with relationships yeah. or human connection. And so it's like, sometimes I'm conflicted where I'm like, I almost would rather be in more of an isolated place and maybe a little unhealthy, like that's like a little unhealthy, but still be with someone. Because then we moved to LA where there's almost there's like so many options and less, I feel like I'm hitting that point with like living in LA where I'm not ready to settle down, but I'm almost like frightened on the fact that there's not even like someone out there that I could settle down with but back in a smaller town, there were a lot more options, but they weren't maybe as healthy. I don't know if I'm making sense, but it's like we almost went to LA and then it's like, what now? You know, it's like, that's not necessarily better. If anything, it's kind of harder to make a human connection.
Well, sometimes it's just easier to make a choice when you have less options in front of you. You go to like what are those things called? Corral, the Corral Buffet, Grand Corral, Golden Corral. If you go to a Golden Corral. Okay, yeah.
I was like, where's he going with this?
I was like, Crate and Barrel?
You got a million options in front of you in terms of what you can eat. It's almost harder to make a decision. You kind of want to try everything.
I mean, do we really need to look
at a menu? If you have a menu of like three items, it's just so much easier to choose and be content with your choice.
It's kind of like, this is a weird analogy, but it's kind of like TV. Like, how many times do you go on Netflix and you spend more time trying to choose an option yeah. than actually watching a movie or a documentary or TV show? It's just because yeah. there's so much, and it's similar to dating now. We're exposed to so many people, whether it be dating apps or cities or, you know, computers and technology, social media, that there's so many options that you're like, well, this person's that, but this person's actually better at this, but then that person has that, which I like too. And it's just so confusing and convoluted. 2020.
Will you let us know if you end up texting him?
Well, there's no way, because I have to respect their boundaries and the fact that, I mean, they're not married, but that they're having a kid together. And I do wish them the best, obviously. And I want that kid to grow up in a healthy atmosphere. But
are they still together?
He's not a great guy, like at all. So how will they end up getting pregnant? I know it's very murky. I'm not going to speak on maybe how murky it got, but I think that there definitely was some cheating, and that they kind of always fall back to each other. And then I think that this, in my assumption is that this is a way that she was able to tie him down, because nobody's been really able to tie him down. So I honestly genuinely believe that baby's gonna like grow up with, I know his parents are amazing, I know she has a great dad and family. But so I need to respect that. But there is just in the back of my head that I'm like, oh, like, I hate that still lingers in my head sometimes, that I'm like, she literally got him. And like, I didn't even get the chance to be like, I don't want to be with you or whatever, you know, but it is what it is.
I mean, it sucks now and I feel for you, but it won't last forever. Once this quarantine ends and you start, you know, seeing other people and distracting yourself and working and going back to your normal life, those feelings will subside. It's just tough. Everybody's going through it right now. You're in quarantine. You got nothing else to do but except just think about things.
We're all going a little crazier day by day. We were going to answer another email, but I don't think we have time for that because this has been a long episode. So I'm just going to go ahead and sign off. Tori, hopefully you feel better.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you to Taylor Nolan and Frankie from Too Hot to Handle for joining us today. Be sure to check Taylor's podcast out and all that good stuff, but be sure to tune in next week as well, because maybe we'll just suck a little bit less.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.